Okay, right now we're going to do Tisha B'Av's Daf, which is Daf Tzadi Vav in Maseches Bava Metzia. We left off on Daf Tzadi Hey Amud Beis. Mirz Hashem, we will not be learning, obviously, on Tisha B'Av. It's also to learn on Tisha B'Av. Rav Meir Shapiro apparently didn't care that it was also to learn on Tisha B'Av, made a Daf Yomi even on Tisha B'Av. Never skip a day. There are no days off from the Daf Yomi. So we're going to do Tisha B'Av's Daf right now, and Be'ezras Hashem, we will do Friday's Daf on Friday morning. It seems like a shorter Daf, but so maybe we'll leave a little bit of room at the end of today's Daf to give us enough material to work with on Friday, Be'ezras Hashem. Okay, we left off on Daf Tzadi Hei Amid Beis. We are about 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines from the bottom of the page, right at the beginning of the line. So if you recall, earlier this morning, we mentioned that there was a machlokas from Rabbi Yonasan and Rabbi Yoshia. In general, when the Torah mentions two things, do we assume that the Torah is saying you need both? When the Torah, for instance, just to give as an example what the Gemara gave, when the Torah mentions that something, that a shoel is going to be chayiv on shvura umesa, so does that mean that the shoel is going to be chayiv when it breaks and dies? But if it were to break or to die, that's not what the Torah is talking about? Or is the Torah, meaning, and obviously if the shoel is chayiv when it breaks, meaning the main point of the Torah is that when it breaks and dies, or do we assume no? Shavur umesa means either it breaks or it dies, one or the other, but not that you need both in order to be chayiv. So that was the machlokas Rabbi Yonasan and Rabbi Yoshia. Another example the Gemara gave, when it says aviv ish asher yikalel es aviv es imo. So does that mean one is only chayiv for cursing his parents when he curses both mother and father, or that a person is going to be chayiv for cursing either or, mother or father? Now the maskana, it's going to be either or. The question is, do we need a separate drasha to make it mean either or is just the fact that it says both is the assumed implication that it's one or the other? So picking up on that machlokas, Abayu Savala Krabiyosha Mitaris Lakrai Krabiyoshia, Rava Savala Krabiyonasan, Umitaris Lakrai Krabiyonasan. Abaye happens to hold the Krabiyoshia, and therefore explains the psukim like Rabbi Yoshia, and meaning the fact that Bishas She'ela you need, that it's Bishas She'ela that you need Baila Vimo in order to be Pater, not at the time that the accident happens that you need Baila Vimo in order to be Pater. It's only at the time that the loan happens, not at the time of the accident, that the Pater of Baila Vimo is going to work. So where does he get it from? So we're going to see. He's going to assume, like Rabbi Yoshia, who holds that even though the word Yachdav doesn't appear, it still means, whenever the Torah gives a list of two things, it means both together, and he'll be able to be Metarit the Pesuk in that way and arrive at the correct halacha. Rava Savar Krabi Yonasan and Metarit the correct Krabi Yonasan. And Rava's going to hold like Krabi Yonasan and hold that no, only if it were to say Yachdav would it mean that both items are together. Otherwise, we assume it's either or. And Rava's going to arrive at the correct halacha by explaining the psukim through the lenses of Rabbi Yonasan. Abaye savra like Rabbi Yoshia, umetaris lekroik Rabbi Yoshia. Abaye holds like Rabbi Yoshia and explains the psukim like Rabbi Yoshia as follows. Balav eini mo shalem yishalem. That if the bailim is not there, then you have to pay, the pasuk says. Taima delaysa bitravayu. The reason why you have to pay is because the bailim wasn't there for both parts. Ha'isa, meaning both the loan and the accident. But ha'isa b'chada v'lesa b'chada, pater. If the bailim were there for just one of the two parts, either the loan or the accident, one of those two, then it would be enough to make you pater. So, I but v'aksiv im balav imo lo yishalem, that if the bailim is there, you don't have to pay, you're going to be pater. Sounds like, when are you pater? Time of the ise b'travayu. Only if the bailim is there for both parts are you pater. The implication of that half of the pasuk is that if the bailim were there for only one of the two parts, either the she'ela or the ones or whatever it is that happens to the animal, the accident that destroys the animal, one or the other, sounds like it would be chayiv. So we have opposite implications from the psukim. On the one hand, the pasuk says that if the bailim is there for both parts, you're going to be pater, implying one is not good enough. On the other hand, we say that we have the pasuk saying that if the bailim is not there for both parts, you're going to be chayiv, implying that if the bailim were there for just one part, you'd be pater. Ah, so it must be, how are we going to make both implications correct? Lomelcha hayi imo b'shasha eila, ein lo tzarech lios imo b'shashvura mesa. Hayi imo b'shashvura mesa, tzarech lios imo b'shasha eila. And the way to answer it is that you're right. If the bailum is there for one of the two parts, you'd be pater. If the bailum is there for one of the two parts, you'd be chayiv. How does that make sense? It depends which part the bailum was there for. If he was there at the time of the loan, that's enough to make you pater, even though he wasn't there at the time of Shvura Umesa. If he was there at the time of the loan, you don't need him to have been there at the time of Shvura Umesa. If he was there at the time of Shvura Umesa, that would not be enough to pater you. You would need him to have been there also at the time of the loan. So that's the drasha that we make from the opposite implications of the psukim. The Ktsos points out, the Ktsos in Simon Reish Tzadi, at the beginning of Simon Reish Tzadi, points out that from this Gemara, it seems that you can bring a raya against the Maharas Ason, who writes that Rabbi Yoshi and Rabbi Yonasan only disagree when the Torah has a vav connecting the two words, the two items. When the Torah is a vav, that's what Maharas Ason says, that's where there's room to argue, is that vav an and, or is the vav an or? Like, for instance, when it says, ish es aviv ve es imo. So is it mother and father, or is it mother or father? But you see from our Gemara that that's not so, because in our Gemara, Rabbi Yosha and Rabbi Yonason's machlokas is applied to the pasuk im ba'alav imo, and im ein ba'alav imo. And im implies whether it's shasha'ela, whether it's shashvuru mesa, or one of the others, right? That's the one or the other. That's the machlok Rabbi Yosha and Rabbi Yonason. But if Rabbi Yonason would only say that it means one of them when there's a vav that separates, how could over here he say that it means only one or the other, either at the time of Sheila or the time of Shura Mesa? There's no vav over here, so you see it's a raya against the Maharas Ason, that the source of the machlokas between Rabbi Yonason and Rabbi Yoshia is not the appearance of the letter vav. It's just in general, whenever you have two items on the list, does it mean that both items need to be present, and it's one and the other, or does it mean one or the other? So that is how Abaye understands the machlokas. Says the Gemara Vayter, Rava savalak Rabbi Yonason amitaritz lekroik Rabbi Yonason. Rava understands, like Rabbi Yonason, who says that when you have two items mentioned on the list, it means one or the other, and he'll explain the psukim to fit very nicely that the patur of Bailav Imo is only going to apply when the Bailam was there at the Shas She'ela. How is he going to explain the Pesukim? So he quotes the following statement of Tanayim. In fact, the Bach takes out the word Titania, but he actually just explains himself the Pesukim. Pasuk says, Im Bailav Imo lo yishalem, that if the Bailam is there, you don't pay. Mashma di isei betravayu. Sounds like he's there for both ends of it, both at the beginning and the end, both at the time of the Sheila and at the time of the accident happening. Umashmanami, but it doesn't have to be that way, because it could also be mashma dechi isei bechada veleisei bechada pater, that if the bailum is there at one or the other, it's pater, because after all, Rava holds like Rabbi Yonasan, that it can mean or, one or the other. So from the pasuk of Imbalav Imo lo yishalem, you see that you don't need the bailum to be there for both parts, one or the other, and he'd be pater. Aye, but there's an opposite implication of Ksiv, Balav Eini Mo Shalem Yishalem. Pasuk also says, if the Bailam is not there, you're going to have to pay. Mashma Deleise Betravayu, Mashma Nami Dichi Ise Bechada Veleise Bechada Chayev, which implies both, if the Bailam isn't there at all, for either the Shas She'ela, nor at the time where the accident happens. And it's also mashma if he's there for one, if he's not there at one time or the other. He's there for one, not there at the other. Mashma in both of those cases, he's going to be chayiv. So you have opposite implications. So lamelcha, so what? How are we going to make sense of the opposite implications? Haya imo b'shash she'ela, ein tzarech lios imo b'shash shvura mesa. That if the bailim were there for one or the other, namely the time of the she'ela, it would be enough to pater. He wouldn't need to be there at the time of Shvura Mesa. Haya imo b'shash Shvura Mesa, tzarech lios imo b'shash Sheila. If he were there at the time of Shvura Mesa, he would need to be there as well for the time of the Sheila. Meaning again, since we have opposite implications, one half of the pasuk implying that if the Bailam is there for one and not the other, he's pater. And the other half of the pasuk implying that if the Bailam was there for one and not the other, he's chayiv. So we say these are not opposite implications at all. They're actually suggesting the same thing. That if he's there for one and not the other, he's pater. That's if the one that he's there for is the shash she'ela. If he's there for one and not the other, he's chayiv. That's if the one that the Bailam is there for is the shash shvura umesa. So says the Gemara, but epochana. How do you know that that's the case? Maybe it's saying the exact opposite. Maybe we're saying that in order to be pater, you need the Bailam to be there at the Shas Shvuru Mesa. Who says that it's that you need the Bailam to be there at the Shas She'ela? Answers the Gemara, Mistavra She'ela Adifa Mishum Dekav Maisila Lirishuse. It's more Mistavra that the Shas She'ela should be the more critical time, because that's where the animal is actually being transferred into the other person's possession, into the borrower's possession. Says the Gemara, no, Adaraba. Maybe I could say that to the contrary. Shvura Umesa Adifa Shekein Chayiv Ba'onseha. That at the time of Shvura Umesa, that's the critical time, because that's when you become chayiv. That's when something happened to the animal, and that's what you would normally have to pay for. So I would say it's dafka, at the time where you incur the chiyuv, that's where you need the bailim to be there. So again, back to the question. If there's one critical time that the bailim has to be there in order to make the shoel pater, how do I know that that critical time is the shas she'ela and not the shas shvura umesa? So answers the Gemara, ilo she'ela shvura umesa mayavid. Because if there was no borrowing, if there was no shas she'ela, how do I know the shas she'ela is a more critical time? If there was no loan, the shvura umesa would be irrelevant. Says the Gemara, yeah, but tuka play at that game. We can say that in the reverse also. V'ilav shvura mesa, she'ela mayavid. If there was nothing that ever happened to the animal where it breaks or dies, well then the shas she'ela turned out to be irrelevant because nothing ever happened. There's no chiyuv. So says the Gemara, afilu hachi, she'ela adifa she'ken chayv b'mazonoseha. Still the shas she'ela is considered more critical because that's when you become chayv in the mazonos of the animal. Now in the Sefer Dvar Yaakov, the Dvar Yaakov explains the issue in the Gemara is tali on the following chakira. When we say balavimo, that you're pater, what's the pshat that you're pater in balavimo? What's the role of the shoel over here? What's the mechanism that makes him pater when it's balavimo? Do we assume that when the balavimo, then the shomer, the shoel, no longer has a din of a shomer, and he's just like someone who's unrelated to the whole story? He's like an adam min hashuk. Or maybe no. Maybe really he is a shomer. He has all the dinim of a shomer, all the status of a shomer. And he has the reason to be, he has a cause to be chayiv in onsem and gnev v'aveda. But there's a custom that in actuality he doesn't have to pay. But he's a shomer through and through. It's just at the end of the day, because of Balavimo, he's not going to have to pay. So those are two studim. Again, either that when it's Balavimo, the shovel doesn't have a din of a shomer at all. He's like an outsider. He's like an adam in ashuk. Or no, he's definitely a shomer. It's just that in the end of the day, he's not actually going to have to pay. So initially, the Gemara thought, like the first side, that when you have balavimo, the shomer is not a shomer at all. And therefore, everything should be tali in the time of the she'ela, in the time where he brings the behema into his rishos in order to watch it. And if the bailum was there at that time, so the shmira never began. And if shmira never began, the guy is going to be pater, the shol is going to be pater. But then the Gemara tries to suggest, no, maybe the patur of balavimo is only a patur in tashlumin. But even with the patur of balavimo, you're absolutely a shomer. It's only a din in the chiyuv. Ah, so then what's going to be the critical juncture where we need balavimo? Not at the time of the she'ela. That's not at all critical. The critical time is going to be the time of the chiyuv. It's going to be at the time where the actual onus happens, where the shas shvuru umesa. That's how the Dvar Yaakov explains the back and forth in the Gemara a little bit. It's machlokas and lamdus in what the idea of balavimo is. Rav Ashi Amar, vaitu in the Gemara, Rav Ashi Amar, Amar Kra, v'chiyishal ish me'im re'ehu, v'lo re'ehu imo, shalem yishalem. Pasuk says, if you borrow from your friend, X, Y, and Z, right? The Pasuk says, if you borrow from your friend, and then it breaks and it dies, so and the Bailam is not there, so you have to pay. So what do we darshan from that pasuk? You borrow from your friend. That's when you're going to have to pay. But v'lo re'ehu imo, but you don't borrow your friend with the item that you're borrowing. Because if you were to borrow your friend together with the item, shalem yishalem, then Yitaka would have to pay. That's why you have to pay, because you did not borrow your friend. Hare'ehu imo, but had you borrowed your friend along with the item, pater, then you would be pater. That's the drasha that teaches me that balavimo at the shas she'ela is what's going to pater. It's because the lashon of the pasuk is a separate drasha. It's v'chiyish alish me'imre'ehu, that at the shas she'ela, it's only then that if you don't have the bailim, you're going to be chayiv. Ha, if you do have the bailim, you're going to be pater. Frak le gemara, ihachi balavin enimo v'im balavimo lamali. But then why do you need the explicit psukim that tell me the din? That if you have the bailim there, then you're pater, and if you don't have the bailim there, you're chayiv. I don't need explicit psukim. I already have this drasha of v'chiyish shalish me'im re'ehu. Sansus gemara ilav hana chavamina hayorchi dekrahu. Now, had I not had those other psukim, I would have thought that this pasuk of v'chiyish shalish me'im re'ehu is not there to teach me any sort of diuk of im re'ehu, but lo re'ehu imo. I just would have thought that's the normal way the pasuk speaks. But now that I know this concept of balavimo, so we could be a little more sensitive to the words of v'chiyish shalish me'im re'ehu, and we could see that the concept of balavimo only works at the shas she'ela, not at the shas shvura umesa. Now the Gemara is going to pose a series of 8 questions. Says the Gemara, Bayram Barchama, Sha'ala l'rova mahu. What if a person borrowed the animal in order to be roveya, the animal? He wanted to commit bestiality with the animal. Is he going to have the din of a sho'al who's chayiv and onsim? Or do we say, no, that's not really called a she'ela? We're not on balavimo right now. I'm talking about dinim of she'ela. Is that going to be like a sho'al who's chayiv and onsim? Or is that not really called she'ela? What are the tzadim? Do we need a loan for things that people normally borrow things for, and this is not a normal thing to borrow an animal for? Or do we assume, no, that you're called a shovel so long as you get hana'a from the item? This guy, as disgusting as it is getting hana'a from the item, and therefore he has the full status of a shovel. Shela li ra'os ba mahu. What if you borrow something not to use it, just to be seen with it? Mamona bi'inan va'ika. Do we say that you just need something that has value, and this taka does have value? Odilma, and therefore you're a real shoel. Odilma mamona disle hana mine bi'inan v'leko. Or maybe no, you need to actually get hana'a from the value. It's not enough that it has value, and over here you're not getting any hana'a from the value that it has, because you're just being seen with it, you're not actually using the item at all. Now the Ktsos and the Machna Ephraim raise the following issue. From this Gemara, the Ktsos and the Machna Ephraim point out, the Ktsos is in Siman Ayin Beis, points out that you can ask a Kasha on the Ran, who says as follows. The Ran in a Tshuva in Siman Beis says that someone who borrows a Sefer from a friend, and then an Ones happens, says the Ran, the Shoel is not Chayv and Onsim. Why? Because the mashil, the one who's lending the sefer, is doing a mitzvah. And since he's doing a mitzvah by lending the sefer, he's getting hana'a from it, because osik b'mitzvah patur min a mitzvah. If an ani were to come and ask him for money at the time that he were doing this mitzvah, he'd be patur. That's what we call pruta d'Rabbi Yosef. So since the mashil is getting the hana'a of saving the pruta that the ani would ask him for, since after all he's doing a mitzvah, so it turned out the shoel didn't get that the shoel did not get the exclusive hana'a from the she'ela. When are you a shoel is going to be chayv and onsim? When only the shoel is getting hana'a, not the mashil. If the mashil is getting hana'a, it's much more akin to a schirus type of deal, where both sides are benefiting. But if only the shoel is getting hana'a, not the mashil, so that's, but if that's real, a real shoel. Over here, the mashil is also getting hana'a. So it sounds like, had it not been for that, meaning from the svara of the Ran, it sounds like, had it not been for that idea that the mashil is also getting hana'a, the shoel would be chayiv. Frek the ktsos, no, the shoel should be pater anyway, even if the mashil were not getting hana'a. Because after all, what's the shoel getting from the sefer? He's borrowing a sefer to learn. And the rule is mitzvos lav lehanus nitnu, that when you do a mitzvah, that's not called hana'ah. So even though he's getting hana'ah from the learning of the sefer, that's not halachically hana'ah. He's getting hana'ah that he doesn't have to pay for another sefer because he has this one, so he doesn't have to pay money to rent another sefer. But still, according to this Gemara, that's not called hana'ah unless you get hana'ah from the guf hadavar. Hana'ah that comes out as like a side point as a result of having an item is not actually called hana'ah. How do we see that in our Gemara? Because in our Gemara, what's the hana'ah the guy is getting from borrowing the item? Just to be seen with it. He's not going to use it at all. So that's a hana'ah, but the Gemara says it doesn't have the halachic status of hana'ah. Why? Because you're not getting hana'ah from the guf hadavar itself. So frek the ktsos, who hadin by the sefer? You're not getting hana'ah from the guf hadavar, because what you're getting is learning, and learning is not halachically considered hana'ah. The only hana'ah you're getting is that you don't have to pay someone else to get the sefer, and that's only incidental hana'ah, which according to our Gemara should not count as hana'ah. So forget the whole cheshbon of the Ran about how the mashil is getting hana'ah. Anyway, the shol shouldn't be chayvin onsim because he's not getting hana'ah. That's the bam kasha of the Ktzos, a very sharp kasha. Says the Or Sameach, it's not a kasha at all. Over here, the issue is not an issue, whether you're chayiv in onsim or not as a shoel, the issue is not whether you're getting hana'ah or not getting hana'ah. The issue is, have you taken over the full rights of the Bailim? Now, in our Gemara, when the hana'ah that you're getting is just being seen with it, that's not a hana'as bailus. That's not the full hana'ah that a bailum would normally be able to get from the item. And since it's not a hana'as bailus, so you can't say, I am now in place of the owner, and therefore chayv an onsim. You're going to be pater an onsim. But when it comes to borrowing the sefer, granted, learning from the sefer is not called hana'ah, but that's what the sefer was made for. And therefore, even if it were by the bailum, what hana'ah does the bailum ever get from his sefer? It's to learn from it. Granted, it's not halachic hana'ah. But is this shawal doing everything the Bailum would do? Absolutely yes. If that's the case, then he would be chayiv in onsim. And that's why you need the Ran's Chiddush to pater him from onsim, not because he's not getting any hana'ah from it. He's absolutely standing in the place of the Bailum. The only way to pater him from onsim, in the Ran's estimation, is by pointing out that the mashil is also getting some level of hana'ah from it. Okay, if you didn't follow all that, it's fine. But anyway, that's the phenomenal vart of the Ktzos and the Or Sameach in our Gemara. Says Gemara, next question. What if you borrow the item in order to do less than a pruta of work with it? Does it just have to be something of monetary value, and it is, meaning the item itself has monetary value, or do we say no, for usage of pachas mipruta, that doesn't count as anything? Question number four. Shal shtei paros lasas ben pruta mahu. What if you borrow two cows, and together they're going to do one pruta of work for you? Do we say, well, just look at the shovel and the mashil, and the deal between them is for a full pruta of work, and therefore it is significant? Oh, Dilmar, maybe no. Zil basar paros, maybe you look at each item being borrowed, and each cow being borrowed, v'kol chada v'chada, leka mamona, and each one does not have actual, is not providing you with actual value, and therefore neither of them counts, and it's not going to be a real she'ela, you're going to be pata from onsim. Question number five. Sha'ol mishutfin v'nishalo echad mehen mahu. What if you borrow from partners and you hire one of the partners along with the item that's jointly owned by both partners? So is that a din of bailam imo? Do we need kulo bailav b'inon v'aleka? Do you need all the bailam of that animal or item that you're borrowing, and you don't have that here because you only have one of the owners? Or maybe at least from the half of that's owned by this guy who you did hire, from that half you should at least be pater. Now it says Tosfos, Vinishalo Echad Mehen Tema, Maikami Baile, Dikivin Dim Nishalo Kala Bailam Pater Me'akal, Hashli Yiftu Mechatzi, Kedamrin Bimruba, Chamisha Bakar, Filu Chamisha Chasai Bakar. What's the Avamin to say that he's not going to be pater from at least the half that's owned by this guy? Right? If you're going to be pater from the whole thing, when you have Kala Bailam Imo, you should be pater from the half. When you have chatzi bailamimo. So it says to also see Shlomo da Hasam Svaruhu She Yishalim Lufimasha Ganav. The idea of Chamisha Bakar the Chamisha Chatzai Bakar, Afilu Chamisha Chatzai Bakar, is a svara that you should pay based on what you stole. But She'ila Babailim is not a svara. Meaning when you're dealing with svara and logical payments, so you could say, okay, fine. So if I'm paying for the whole thing when I steal the whole thing, so when I steal half, I pay for half it. Meaning when I steal from a half a guy, so I pay for that half. That makes sense. But when you're dealing with something that has no svara to begin with, the din of Baal Avimo is not something that's at all logical. It's a chiddush of the pasuk. We never would have imagined that there's such a din of Baal Avimo had the Torah not said it. And therefore the rule is, anytime there's a chiddush, in l'chabo el chiddusho, you can only carry that chiddush as much as what it says in the Torah. And the Torah says you need Baal Avimo. So therefore there's good reason to assume that if you don't have the entire Baal Avimo, you're going to be absolutely pater. Question number 6 of the Gemara. Shutfin Sheshal, what if two Shutfin borrowed something, Vinishal Le'echad Mehen Mahu, and one of those Shutfin, and the owner of the item, it's only the item itself that's being lent is only owned by one person, but the people who are borrowing it are Shutfin, and the owner of the item becomes rented out or hired by one of the Shutfin together with the item. Do we say that as a din of Baal Avimo or not? Kulo shal bi'inan v'leka. Do you need the both the entire shoel, both parties that are being shoel in this case that are borrowing in, to have Baal Avimo in order to be pater? In which case you don't have that over here. Odilma b'hi palga d'shailim yas miftar. Or should we say no? At least the shoel who does have Baal Avimo should be pater from his half of the payment. The other guy might be chayiv, but at least he should be pater from his half of the payment. Question number 7. Shalom isha v'nishal baila, isha shashal v'nishal abal mahu. What if you borrow from a woman and you hire the husband together with the item that you're borrowing from the woman? Or a woman who borrowed an item and the owner of that item was hired by the husband of this woman. Is that called Baal Avimo? Do we say Kinyan Peros Kinyan Guftami Olo? Do we say that the husband's ownership of the Kinyan Peros is like he owns the item itself and therefore he's like a Baalim in every respect? Do we say no, he's not? Question number 8. Amli Ravina Ravashi, Homer Lishluchat Seva Sheli in Parasi Mahu. What if someone says to his Shaliach, go and hasheli imparasi, borrow me together with my cow. Baal of mamish, meaning I'm not going to meaning I, the owner, am not going to work together with the cow, but the owner sends a shliach in his stead. So he basically goes, tells the shliach, you act as the bailum that are being rented together with the cow. Is that good enough? Is a shliach able to take the place of the bailum legabe the din of Baal Avimo or not? That's the shaila. Baal of mamish b'in of aleka. Do you need the actual bailum, in which case you don't have it over here? Odum shluch shalom kamoso v'iko, or maybe no, shluch shalom kamoso, and that's good enough. Amle ravacha b'rei d'ravavi l'ravashi, baal plukta d'rabi yochanan v'reish lakish, shliach plukta d'rabi yonasan v'rabi yoshia. The issue of the Baal, of whether the husband is considered kinyan peres kinyan guf, whether the husband is considered like the wife, is going to actually be able to be resolved as a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, and the issue of a shliach, whether the shliach can take the place of the Baalim, will be able to resolve and point out that it's a machlokas between Rabbi Yonas and Rabbi Oshia. The other 6 questions don't know, but at least these 2 will be able to work on. So Baal plukta Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. How so? What do we mean when we say that the issue of the Baal taking the place of the being considered the owner of produce owned by his wife, of items owned by his wife, that's a machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish? Because we have the following machlokas. If a person sells a field to his friend for the sake of the peros, Rabbi Yochanan says the person who buys the rights to the fruits of that field can not only bring Bikurim, he's even allowed to read the Parshas Bikurim as if he were the owner. Reish Lakish Amar maybe Veinu Kari. Reish Lakish says no, he can bring the Bikurim, but he cannot read the Parshas of Bikurim. Why? Rabbi Yochanan Amar maybe Kari can bears Kinyan Guftami. Rabbi Yochanan says he could bring the Bikurim and read the Parshas of Bikurim because his Kinyan Peros in it is like a Kinyan Guft. Kinyan Peros is as if you are the owner, and therefore by a husband who has a Kinyan Peros in his wife's Nichsei Malug, also is considered as if he is the owner of those nechasim. Reish Lakish Omer may vive in a kari, but Reish Lakish says, no, you could bring the Bikurim, but you cannot read the Parshas of Bikurim. Why not? Kinyan Peros, lav Kinyan Haguf Dami, because Kinyan Peros does not have the status of Kinyan Haguf. Good, so that is the Shita of Reish Lakish, and that's why the Baal, the husband, should not be able to take the place and be considered as if he is an owner. Says Gemara Vayter, Shliach plukta Rabbi Yonasan and Rabbi Yoshia. The issue of the Shliach, whether the Shliach can take the place of the Baalim, that's actually a machlokas between Rabbi Yonasan and Rabbi Yoshia. Titanya, we have a Braisa, Ha'omer la'apotropos kol nadarim shetei ishti nadaris mikan v'achav v'makom ploni haferla. If a guy tells an apotropos, I want you to do me a favor, any nidarim that my wife takes while I'm away, I'm going to be away on a trip for a while, any nidarim that she takes, I want you to be mefir all the nidarim, which is something only a husband is allowed to do. So he asks the apotropos to do it on his behalf. Vehefirla, and this apotropos goes, and he's mefir all those nidarim. Yachl yuhu mufarin. So I might think that that's effective, that works, that's okay, that the nidarim are takum mufar, that they are undone through the actions of this apotropos. Talmud Lomar, that's why the pasuk says, Isha yikimenu v'isha yifirenu. Divrei Rabbi Yoshia. Rabbi Yoshia says, no, it's dafka, a husband who has the right to be mekayim or mefer nidrei ishto. An apotropos cannot take the place of a husband. That's Rabbi Yoshia. Rabbi Yonasan Omer, Matzina b'kakal adam, b'kal makam, shluch shalom kamoso. That's not what he's talking about. We always say shluch shalom kamoso. So why should this be any different? So if the husband has the right to be mekayim or mefer the nedarim, the shliach also should have the right to be mekayim or mefer the nedarim. It's simply shluch shalom kamoso. So how does that relate to us, to our issue of whether a shliach of the Baalim can be considered like the Baalim? Question is, how far do you take shluch shalom kamoso? Even in dinim, where it seems that we're specific about a certain person playing a role, do we assume that a shliach can take on that role as well? Or do we say, no, it's only where there's no halacha requiring that it be a specific person. It's just that you want something done for yourself, like a kinyan, a kiddushin, something like that, where there's no halacha that it has to be a certain person. It's just that you're the one that wants to do it. That's where we say for sure there's shlichus. But maybe when there's a halacha that it has to be a certain person, shlucha shalom kamoso will not work. So in that way, we're connecting the hafaras nedarim issue with the issue of baal avimo. What if a person tells his Eved, I want you to go and be lent out together with my cow? Meaning that way I'll be able to have, it will be a situation of Baal Avimo, and the Shol will be Pater. Is that good enough? Meaning, does that count as the Baalim being there when the Eved of the Baalim is there? So we just asked before about the Shliach of the Baalim, and we said that that was a Machlokas, Rabbi Yonasan and Rabbi Yoshia. This is different, says the Gemara. This is going to be a shaila, both if you hold shluch shalom kamoso and if you hold shluch shalom eino kamoso. Why? If you hold that the shliach can take the place of the baalim, yeah, maybe hani mili shliach to bar mitzvah hu. Maybe that's a shliach who himself could have is subject to mitzvos. He himself is chayiv in mitzvos. Aval eved elav bar mitzvah lo. But maybe an eved does not have the status of a shliach because he's not one who's chayiv in mitzvos. Or the shaila can be flipped. It could even be going if you assume that a shliach cannot take the place of a baalim. Maybe an eved is better than a shliach. Why? Because by a shliach, yes, shluch shalom kamoso. But by an eved, it's not just that he is acting on your behalf. He becomes like you. He's acting on your behalf. It's even more than that. It's yad eved ki yad rabo damya. He literally becomes, his hand is like your hand. He's literally an extension of you. And therefore, it is considered a baal avimo when you have the eved. That's the shaila. Samalei mistavri yad eved ki yad rabo damya. He says, most mistaver that even if you hold that the shliach cannot be considered by Levimo, an eved can be considered by Levimo. If you take a look at Rav Yosef Engel's Svarim, I forget which one, either in Lekach Tov or in Asfon Daraisa, I don't remember which one, I think it's Asfon Daraisa, he has a whole piece on Shlucha Shalom Kamoso, and he has a Chakira. When we say Shlucha Shalom Kamoso, is it that the other person is acting on my behalf? Or is it that the other person becomes me? That he becomes the Mishaleach? This Gemara seems to be a Raya that it's the former, not the latter. He's acting on my behalf, but he does not become me. How is it a Raya? Because the Gemara distinguishes between Shliach and Eved. That an Eved, we say, that's where he is me. But a Shliach, he is not me. He's simply acting on my behalf. I believe Rav Yosef Engel quotes this Gemara. He doesn't quote it from here, but this similar conversation comes up in Maseches Shavuos. So if I'm not mistaken, he quotes this Gemara, this back and forth, this give and take from Maseches Shavuos, and brings this as a Raya. And he goes back and forth whether it's a Raya or not a Raya. Not time to get into it now, but if you want to take a look at Rav Yosef Engel, if I'm not mistaken, Asfon Daraisa deals with this exact issue. Okay, that is the... that is in terms of that shaila of the Eved serving as the Bailim for the sake of Baal Avimo. Bayram Barchama, Vaitu in the Gemara. Actually, one more thing. The Tosos, Shliach, Plukted Rabbi Yonos and Rabbi Yoshia, Tosos, the bottom Tosos on the page, where it says that Shliach, whether the Shliach can take on the status of Baal Avimo, is subject to Machlokas, Rabbi Yonos and Rabbi Yoshia, says of him Tomer, Hechi Medama Sheila Babailim Linadarim. How could we compare Sheila Babailim to Nadarim? Rabbi Yoshia must have some special reason why by Nedarim Bedavka he said that we cannot apply Shlucha Shalom Kamoso, because there's no way that Rabbi Yoshia says in Kala Tara Kula that he just denies the whole concept of Shlichus. Obviously, he understands the concept of Shlichus and agrees with the concept of Shlichus. It's just that by Nedarim, he has a special drasha. He must have a special drasha that tells me that a Shliach is ineffective to be Mefir Nidre Ishto. That's what you have to say. So if he has some sort of special drasha by Nedarim, Mehechi Tesi, that you can then apply that drasha to situations of Baal Avimo, to the halacha of Baal Avimo, unless you have a special drasha for Baal Avimo as well. But you can't just apply this machlokas without special drashas for each case. So says Tosos V'yishlomer, the time of Rabbi Yoshia Hasam, why in fact is it that Rabbi Yoshia holds shlichus does not work for Afaras Nedarim? Mishum d'chsiv trei zimni, isha, isha. Right? It says twice, isha. It says, isha yikemenu, v'isha yiferenu. Why the emphasis on the husband? That's the drasha Rabbi Yoshia has to tell me that a shliach is ineffective for Afaras Nedarim. So we do have such a similar drasha over here by the din of Baal Avimo. V'achanami ksiv Baal of Trezimni. It also says the word Baal of twice. Inami mishum d'loshon Baal of v'ishos mashm lei hu dafka v'lo shlucho. Or it could just be that the lashon of the pasuk of Baal of Isha, forget about repeating the word, just the lashon, the word itself implies it's this person and nobody else. Very similar to the way I explained before, that it's gotta dafka be this person. And that's Rabbi Yoshia's whole svara, that whenever the Torah specifies an individual, the Baal, the Isha, the Ish, the husband, whenever the Torah specifies an individual, Rabbi Yoshia will hold, it has to be that person, it cannot be a shaliach. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter in the bottom line at Sadi Vavam and Aleph. Boy Roim Barchama, Baal Benichsei Ishto, Shoel Havi or Socher Havi? What is the status of a husband with his wife's Nechasim? Do we assume he's a Shoel and therefore he's going to be Chayv and Onsim that happened to the Nechasim, to the animals, to the Nechsei Melug or whatever? Or do we assume that no, he's a Socher and therefore he's going to be Pater from Onsim? Amar Rava, so Rava says, wait a second. What kind of question? L'fum churfa shabishta, because you're so sharp and you're thinking too fast, you made a mistake, you weren't precise in your thinking, because that's not really much of a question. Because manavshuch, it doesn't make a difference if you're a shoel or a socher. Ish shoel havi shele bebailim hi. Because even if you're a shoel, you're a shoel bebailim, and therefore you're potter. Ish socher havi, schiris bebailim hi. And if you're a socher, so it's schiris with bailim, and therefore you're potter. Either way, it's not going to make a difference, you're going to be potter. Ella kikam yivayli l'Rami Bar Chama. No, you know what Rami Bar Chama's real shayla was? Da amar, da agar mina, Harav Hadar Nasva. Now the case was, a guy rents a cow from a woman, and then he marries that woman. So now it's not necessarily going to be Schiris B'Banavi. So now we want a Shaul Havi, a Socher Havi. Is he a Shaul when he the Nechasim become his wife's Nechasim? So his relationship to his wife's Nechasim, is that as a Shaul or a Socher? Why does that matter? Shaul Havi Va'as Yashelu B'Banavi Mafka Schiris Shalom B'Banavi. If he's a Shaul, then his relationship with the Nechasim changes. Granted, originally he was a Socher, but now he's becoming a Shaul. And since he's becoming a Shaul now it's She'ela B'Bailim, right? Because now the relationship between him and his wife is also coming into play, and he's going to be working on those Nechasim, and his wife is going to be working for him. His wife is going to be under his care. So it's going to be considered She'ela B'Bailim, or do we say no? Odilma socher havi, or maybe no. Even when a husband gets married, his relationship to the nechsim lug are as a socher, but he already was a socher anyway. So we don't view it as a new schiris bebailim. We view this as a continuation of the schiris that he always had, and that schiris was shalom bebailim, or dilma socher havi schiris kidekai mekayma, and the initial schiris remains in place. So that's why it's important to know, because if he started out as a socher and then he married the woman, so if you're going to say that he has a din of a shoel, so the relationship changes, and it's a new kinyan. He's now becoming a shomer of a shoel. He now has a din of a shoel. And shoel, it's sheila bebailim. The new kinyan is bebailim. Or do you assume, no, that since his relationship with the nitzim lug is anyway only as a socher, so it's only a continuation of the previous relationship, which was as a socher, and therefore, it's not going to be considered schiris b'bailim, because that previous schiris did not begin with the bailim. So umayshna says it went away. It shouldn't make a difference. If the relationship with the nechsim lug is as a shoel, so that new relationship uproots the old relationship and gets rid of the previous schiris, and therefore it now is din of shelu b'bailim. Why don't you say the same thing by socher? He's socher nami avi. You should say the same thing if a Baal is a socher on Nechse Yishto. We should say the same thing, that he's a socher bebailim now. It's not just a continuation of the previous schiros. The previous schiros was a schiros shalom bebailim. So we should say that this is a brand new schiros. And this schiros is schiros bebailim. And memeli you're going to be pater because there's bailavimo. So it shouldn't make a difference whether you're a shoel or a socher. So that could not have been the shaila either. El kikam yibayil Rami Bar Chama. You want to know Rami Bar Chama's real shaila was? Kigon da agra ihi para me alma v'hadar nasva. She rents a cow from somebody, and then the husband marries her. Now, if you assume a shoel is going to pay the socher, so then it's no shaila, because then it's for sure shaila b'bailim. Ki tibaylach, when do we have a shaila? Alibud Rabbi Yossi damer tachsir par lebailim arishonim, who only according to Rabbi Yossi, who would say you don't go back to the middleman. That if you are the shoel from someone who's a socher, and something happens, as a shoel you're chayef to pay who? Not the socher, to pay the maskir, the first party. So then, what's the din over here? Shoel havi or socher havi? We have to know, is the husband a shoel or is he a socher? Meaning, if he were a shoel, so then he would go back and pay the first party. If he were socher, he would not. Amrava bal lo shoel havi vilo socher havi. Is it A or B? Neither. It's C. Elolokeach havi. The bal is a din. Of a lokeach, mid Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. We know this from Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. Dam Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. Buusha yiskinu. They made a takanas usha. Ha'isha shemachra b'nichsei malug b'chayei bala. If a woman sells her nichsei malug while her husband is alive, umesa, and then she dies, habal motzi miyav elukuchos. The husband can confiscate those nichsei malug from the lukuchos because he has a din of a lokeach. Bay Rami Bar Chama. Bal b'nichsei yishto mi ma'al. When a husband gets nechasim from his wife, who is considered to be in violation of mi'ila? Says Rashi, what's the case? Kigon shenafula nechasim me'avia mishenises. A woman receives a yerusha after she gets married. V'imahen ma'u shel hekdish. And with that money, amongst the yerusha, is hekdish money. V'ein yiduin shein shel hekdish. But no one realizes that there's Hagdish money in the Yerusha. Va'amur Rabbanon bal zocha behen b'kala nechasim l'shtamish v'lechol peros. And we know that the din midrabbanon is that the husband is allowed to take whatever Yerusha the wife gets and eat the peros of the Yerusha and enjoy the Yerusha. U'betakana zu nasa shliach nasa shalit b'nichsei Hagdish. And through this takana, he becomes the controller of this money that belongs to Hagdish. L'knosam, to acquire them. And the Gemara is assuming right now that that's equivalent with taking money of Hegdish and trying to turn it into chulin. So someone's violated Mi'ila. Question is, even though the husband hasn't touched the money yet, just the fact that he gets it, we assume, equals making it chulin. So somebody's violated Mi'ila. The question is, who has violated Mi'ila? Amar Rava, so Rava says, well, man limol, who could have violated Mi'ila? Limol bal, de'atera nichalei delikni, su lo nichalei delikni. What, should you say the husband violated Mi'ila? Well, maybe his kinyan is only on that which is mutter. He has no interest in being kona, that which is aser. And therefore, maybe the kinyan is invalid klape the husband. Timol ihi, should you say, and therefore he shouldn't violate Mi'ila. Timol ihi, should you say she has violated Mi'ila? She's also not interested in being kona anything that is not mutter. Nimalu Bezdin, should we say Bezdin violated Mi'ila? Because after all, they're the ones that said that the husband now owns it, so they're the ones that sort of were motzi at Mirushos Hegdish. When do we assume that the Baal has a din of a lokech? That's only for something that's mutter. The Rabbanan never made a takana that the Baal should have a din of a lokech on something that's aser. So who's going to be Moel? Elam Rava, Baal Mal, Likishayotzi. The husband will be Moel, but not yet. Only when he actually uses the money and spends it. Aye, it's Shogeg. Well, that's what Mi'ila is. Every case of Mi'ila is Shogeg. I mean, the point is, as of right now, when he first gets the money in his possession because of the Yerusha, Midin Takana de Rabbanan, no one's violated Mi'ila yet. The husband hasn't violated Mi'ila. When is he in violation of Mi'ila? When he goes and spends that money and misappropriates it. B'shogeg. Midin Hava Amotzi Mos Hegdish Chulin. Just like any other normal case where a person takes Hegdish money and goes and gives it to Chulin. Okay, so Be'ez Hashem, we will pick up on Friday. Be'ezras Hashem at Ibailu at the next Shaila of the Gemara here in Daf Tzadi Vav Amud Beis. Everyone should have a meaningful fast, and we should be zocha to see the rebuilding of Yerushalayim Be'ezras Hashem and be able to celebrate Tisha B'Av tonight and not to have to mourn anymore.